Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you and yours. Yes, it's time for another episode of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am so grateful to be here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for grilling with me and cooking the stuff, whatever you're cooking today, because we're getting ready to have a spiritual barbecue. We're going to throw it up in the flame. Anything we don't need, we're going to burn off. Whatever we do need, we will digest it with joy, with happiness. Maybe a little bit of reunions, like, oh, it's so nice to see you. And so we want to start on the same space, the same place, and recognize who and what we are, because that's important. Because when people don't know who, or when they've forgotten who they are, they start acting a fool at a barbecue get-together. You know what I mean?
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
That's right. You are wonderful, you are whole, you are free, because you are strong, you are here, you are one with the one. You are one with the divine consciousness that is intelligent, that is intelligence, and is everything. And the brothers are in the house. I love having a conversation with them. Today's theme, today's topic is bloom where you're planted. That's right. It is the theme for the month, and the month is coming to a release, not a wrap. And we want to hear what it's like when men bloom where they're planted, because you know spiritual warriors have a lot to say in the world, and these brothers are not afraid to express themselves. And in the spirit of this memorable day, recognizing all those who came before us, even though we say they're dead, they still live in us. We want to welcome them to this space, to this place, because our ancestors, they live in us, and we are them. We welcome you with Funger, and we'll be back.
We'll be right back. alafia ashe ashe. Uwani alafia ashe ashe.
I know that's right. Funga, we welcome you to yourself. We welcome you home, Yuai Mata. That's Funga. Welcoming you, your ancestors, your guides, the ETs, extraterrestrial or enlightened teachers. You get to call it what you want as we prepare to bloom where we are planted. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am so grateful to have you. We ain't got nothing to hide, only truth to show. Giwai Mata, you can find out more about them by going to their website, Giwai Mata, GIWAYENMATA.org. And if you start shaking your rump, of course I'm talking to sisters, you know, while you're barbecuing, that would be the best burger ever. Yes, you are in the house of love. Thank you. Let's welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to yourself first. Because when you tune in to yourself, you get to orchestrate yourself in alignment with the truth of who you are. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when the inspiration happens, when you catch the inspiration, when you align with the inspiration, when the inspiration becomes a way of life, you can't help but make a difference. Inspiration, the breath of God, the breath of life, the breath of good. You call it what you want. It's the breath that is breathing you right now. Even if you make a conscious effort a conscious decision to breathe in and breathe out, you've still been breathed. Something is breathing you. Just think about it. When you go to bed, when you're sleeping, something, you don't even have to believe in God or Jesus or Buddha or Lao Tzu, whatever that you don't believe in angels, but just spend some time and think, wow, what is breathing me? I don't see a visible cord to something. Something is breathing you. And because we are one with that thing that breathes us, man has been able to, humanity, that is, man, woman, being, human being, has been able to connect with that thing that breathes us and create a machine. So there are those who are in coma, but we've still figured out to keep them breathing, to keep them in alignment with the breath of life, the deep sound, the deep ohm, the deep vibration. It's pure awareness. It doesn't need your help. You just need to yield to it. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade. Thank you for being here. I am your host. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, the Nutty Professor, the Soul Whisperer. And the brothers are in the house. They're getting ready to fire up this place, fire up the grill of your consciousness. So ladies, if there's anything you bring into the table that you're struggling with, that you don't want to deal with, if you're pissed, if you're angry, if you're joyful, whatever it is, just bring it to the fire of transformation because we're getting ready to turn it up. You want heat? You want heat? That's a fire. Oh, I just tapped into Eddie Murphy there. I feel like I haven't been here for a long time, so much so that I'm just like, I'm doing a radio show. But, you know, there's so much going on, and I think what we're going to do is do a quick announcement. Well, how do I want to do this? Let me bring on my co-producer because she's going to be quite involved in it to keep me on track, to keep me grounded, being a Taurus that she is. But I do want to welcome all of you online on the phone lines and those of you in the chat room. Thank you for being here. Those of you listening, the Within Radio, our Within Radio listeners, thank you all for being here. Wherever you're listening from, if you're listening on this planet or you're on another planet, it's all good. Just thank you for being part of this transformation. Let me bring on Celeste. Two or one, we're going to go for two. Line two, Celeste, you're live. How can we help you?
Oh, you got the wrong line. Let me help you there, boss.
Okay. I never get the wrong line. You just need to be clear about what you want. Okay, hold on 1 second. There you go. How about that?
Much better.
Yes.
Hello, Life Coach Today. Happy
Hello.
Memorial Day. Though that never mm-hmm. makes sense to me, but I am happy that we are acknowledging our ancestors. I include the soldiers, but I include all of their families. I include everybody in the ancestral line on this day, and I don't have time to fight with you about how I feel about peace, not you personally, but I can still take the moment to respect and honor the warrior because that energy is alive and we need it. It's just how we're using it is my only point. So anyway, happy Memorial Day, kids, and I want my hot dog burnt. Okay.
Yes, indeed. It's a memorable day to remember what it takes to create the world that we have today and remembering history and put it in the right place. And then when we go deeper than that, it's to remember, as I said earlier, to remember that our ancestors live in us. So, you know, the truth is we must remember that we can't have in the world what we're not willing to become. You talk about peace, love, joy, whatever it is you want in the world, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen unless you're willing to become it. That's right. So when we say we want peace, we want freedom, you can fight for your peace or your freedom, but you're going to have to fight for that peace to keep it going. So you have to stay alert. But if you're willing to become it, even what's going on in the world, when stuff are going on in the world, you're still feeling grounded. And, you know, that's what it's about, recognizing that there is a space within us. There is this awareness that is full, that is peace, that is freedom. And in truth, we don't need to fight for it. We just need to set it free.
Mm.
But we're learning. We're learning. We're learning. And so, yeah, the brothers are standing by waiting. I know we have a lot to do. I want to do this before I do a quick announcement. I want to just update my listeners. Last week I had a guest join me, Azania Shaka. She was talking about her friend, Aya, a sister who I later found out that I know her mother, who had a health challenge. Her body was healing. She wasn't sick. Her body was healing. And now she's been brought back. Well, she was in Mexico. She was back in a home in Atlanta. She was in Grady in ICU. She got moved, and she came back home. When was it? Was it Saturday or Sunday? So I want to thank all of you that donated your energy, your money energy, your prayers. She's getting stronger and stronger. Continue to send the healing energy out. And anybody else that you know that needs the healing energy, continue to send it out because we need each other. We need each other. So let's see, Celeste, what do you think? What should we do? I'm looking at the time. I want to bring the brothers on. I'm excited. We got some stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if you want the recorded announcements or the live announcements when you say quick announcements.
Well, you know what? Let's see. Yeah, let's do the live announcements, and then let's do the live announcement, and then we'll bring the brothers on, and then, you know, we'll celestial moment around one. All right, let's do that. Yes.
I know it's your studio and your radio network.
And I know you are always ready and prepared for change in the last minute. That's why I love you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here we go. I got some announcements, folks. I want you to tune in. Get ready for it. There's some hot things that are going on. And we're so excited about it, okay? So don't miss Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints, Race, the Civil War, and Memorial Day. The Civil War is over, but the soul of America is still in process of reconciliation where division lingers. Join us in honoring the fullness of our ancestors and American history in this conversation on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern. And the next week on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, Life Coach Today will kick off the theme for June, Spiritually Grounded in Spite of Shaky Ground. He will also be unveiling his new show on Tuesday, June 3rd on 12radio.com called Soul Food for Your Consciousness at 10 a.m. Eastern. Get some zest in your life when you start your morning with a day. And make sure you tune in for the newest show on Life Conversations Radio Network, Inner Light Radio with Reverend Deborah Johnson at 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights. This Tuesday night, we're going to re-air a powerful sermon, Wherever You Are, Give Your Gifts. And then the following week, she will be in the studio live taking your questions. You can also join Cynthia James and Carl Stutner for Bridging the Gender Gap teleseries on Sunday, June 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern. To get your free ticket, visit bridgingthegendergap.net/a-day, A-D-E. We will keep you posted. And family, that wraps up your live announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. Great things are happening. We're all expanding. Yeah, we're expanding and explaining and expanding. So just keep saying yes to life so that life can express itself, herself, himself through and as you. And speaking of himself, let's see how life wants to express himself, itself, herself through my brothers. Let's bring them on, Celeste.
Yes. I have their bios lined up. These are some powerful warriors in the house. I have grown to love them, embrace them, and pay attention to their wise words. I thank you formally, brothers, for coming to the village, those who are joining this conversation, and those on the phone line right now. Special shout-out to Night Wolf. I see you. So let's start with the Shinde Amun. He is this vibrant spirit, a father, a husband. He's a Centers for Spiritual Living practitioner. He's also an urban mystic, occultist, soul-filled artist, poet, and a spiritual activist. Ashande is committed to using his particular way of God expression and helping others see love in and through their life. And next we have Gregory E. Woods, also known as Don Wolf. He's a musician, writer, a social activist, and a keeper of stories. Stories are a healer's tool, an intangible, tangible force of creation. And from creation, he uses the art of weaving stories in diverse settings to restore balance and clarity of thought in and out of ceremonial settings, especially while supporting the youth at Empowerment Center and all around the greater Washington metropolitan area. And then there's Joe Kelly. He's fascinated by the influence we, men, have on our children, stepchildren, and everyone else in our families. Since 2002, he's been talking with, writing about, and speaking about dads, stepdads, and other men and families. These conversations with thousands of men across North America led to the stories and insights in Dads and Daughters and five other fathering books. He's also the co-founder of New Moon Girls Magazine and the national nonprofit Dads and Daughters. Family, please welcome the Brothers of the Village, a beautiful men's panel, Ashende, I know how to say your name, Gregory E. Woods, and Joe Kelly. Welcome home.
Greetings.
It is so nice to have you guys. I mean, as Celeste was reading your bio, I just feel my heart chakra expanding because I'm often in the move, keep moving, that I do stay, you know, let me put it this way. Just being present, there you go, being present to who you are through Celeste's voice just fills me with gratitude. I am so grateful to have you all with me. It is. I love the shows. I've had female friends who would say to me, you know, I love the show because it's a good way for me to see how men think and how they see spirituality. So I just want to say thank you for making time today to being here and being willing to trust other people to handle the barbecue and the grilling. Thank you very much. That's a spiritual. You said, "I'm trusting you."
That was funny. That was good.
Yeah. And listeners, we'll make it easy for you to know who is who. Okay, trust me, I got you. But before we start, I just want to Don Wolf, John, Joe. I just want us to and all the listeners really surround Ashende. Ashende, you had somebody made a transition, someone is dear to you. Can you tell us about the person so we bring them into this conversation?
Sure. The brother was named Alan Collier IV, and he was a founding member of the Masters of Light Ministry at Guidance Church. And the brother, it's interesting, today is Memorial Day because he always classified himself as a soldier of love. Mm. And so that's what I take from him. Many people we witnessed at the funeral took many things from this brother. And so that was something I had taken from him just in the warriorship of spirituality and whatnot. And, you know, he was a graphic artist, so he had created a whole, he took the sergeant emblem there and created a heart with it. Mm-hmm. And he wore it on a shirt like he was a real soldier of love. So it was really nice. So I like that. And so he was a very giving soul. And you just felt the warmth coming through everyone at the celebration of his life, you know.
When was the celebration?
It was Saturday, this Saturday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, I feel he's still present, you know, and I've communed with him in that realm, you know, and so I know he has big, big work ahead. And so as I shared with the practitioners, you know, at our meeting about him, I said, I know this brother is preparing the way for major work, so he's going to really feel that Soldier of Love banner to the fullest. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm just in gratitude. I'm just in gratitude, you know.
Yes. We're holding you up. We know this is a brother you were close to, and knowing that the Soldier of Love passed on the baton to you and everybody else to keep the work going, because love is forever flowing. So we're holding you. We're holding you. And his family and everybody else that knew him, they may be feeling the grief, the loss.
Yeah. Children
so just,
and his mother.
Yes. Life. life. So let's continue. Just want to check in with you in addition to the agenda. Anything else that you're feeling around this day today that you just want to share with us?
Awesome. It is awesome. Mm. You know.
Yes.
You made the statement, we need each other, and I'm just like, we need each other because we are each other, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I've been witnessing and just being present with that connectedness that, you know, and it first it got me caught up in a spookism, you know, because you start seeing the dots all lined up, and then you go, uh-oh, what is this all about?
Right.
And, you know, you played that song earlier, and this is just an example. You played that song, and many years ago, I met a sister who was a queen soul warrior, and I met her I was in an ignorant place, but still spiritually grounded, if you can catch my drift. And so I thought everything was brute force, you know. That's how I handle things. And I remember some guys were harassing her, some young cats was harassing her. And I, you know, came with the physical. And we later sparked a friendship. And she was showing me how, you know, just with a look, just with going in one's mind, you could just offset everything and have your dominion with them, because everything's interconnected. And that was her song. She's always say, Alafia, yeah. And she got me into knowing my mother of Oya. She says all the time to me back then, you know, Oya is strong in you, but you don't know how to use Oya right in your life. Mm. And so when you played that, it's very interesting, because I anointed myself with the oil that she shared with me, that she spoke of as being my holy oil. And that's what I anointed myself this morning with. And you play that song, and it's all this interconnectedness all over again. So it's just, I'm looking at the miracle called life and the joy and the magic of it all, and just being present with it.
Yes, yes. Love knows what love is doing, and God knows what God is doing. And speaking of God knowing what God is doing, let's go to Don Wolf, my brother. How are you doing?
I feel better in this company of men. I really enjoy this time. I'm sitting in my office with my feet up, and I'm relaxed and I'm full of a lot of how do you say this? I think it's presence is what I feel. Because I'm really feeling and involved with what it means to create a foundation and to ensure that the legacies that are in me go on to the next generations, plural. And that's what I'm feeling. And that I'm also in a good place, because yesterday my wife and I went to participate in sacred ceremony at Howard University. The four African houses came together. They come together every year, and it's the first year I got to go. They come together every year to do ceremony and to break bread together. And it's a powerful thing. The Akan, Yoruba, Vodun, and Kemet, those four houses come. That's 11, actually it's 11 African houses in D.C. And they're long and strong in the area. And so that coming together is in me. And then we're in this interesting place because a lot of old structures are falling by the wayside. And I'm going to give you one that for most listeners is going to mess up their ears. And so...
I mean, of course, you don't know. Keepers of stories.
I was talking to a woman I knew over the years from one of the houses of Yoruba. And we were talking about how things are changing and the rapidity of it, the change. She said also the need and the practice for animal sacrifices are leaving very fast. People are moving into a space where they're the center of all creation is going into their being. And I said, she sparked a memory because I remember old man, my grandfather I talked about, he would never teach me how to do sacrifices. He would do them in the capacity he did as a rabbi, but he would never do it. He told me, he said, that's not what you're supposed to do, and he would tell me what I was supposed to do. And that's a difficult thing for Americans to listen to, but it's a tradition among many places around the world that held the world together. Now the reasons and how the world is being held together are changing, and the modern facade it's a facade. So one of the questions of the day for me is, what is really holding the world together? And you, Ade, you said something very profound, very simple, and I'm not saying that you're simple, but it was the simplicity in which you said it that struck that. I didn't catch it at first, and then, thankfully, you repeated yourself, and you said, something is breathing me. What is breathing me? And you said, you cannot have whatever you want in the world unless you are willing to be it or to become it. And that is what's changing. And that's the question that begins to formulate the foundation of whatever the new world is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for that gift.
You're welcome.
That was something. Because I didn't know how to ask the question. I said, hey, our day said. So I'm sitting wrapped up. I got a blanket wrapped around me. I'm sitting at your feet all day. And I'm listening very intently. There's some hot drink or two in the kitchen and waiting for us to go and get it because apparently for this 2 hours, no woman's going to bring us anything to drink, so periodically we're going to have to go up and serve ourselves. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. I love you, my brother. And speaking of love and brothers and Joe Kelly, he's another brother I've known for a long time. I don't even remember how we met, but I think it was more through his work. Joe, how are you? What's bubbling up for you?
I am doing okay. I'm also feeling very grateful to be hearing the warm voices of three of you. And thank you, Ashendi, particularly for sharing your story of your friend, your brother, and It always is comforting and inspiring to me to hear people talk about celebration and gratitude when someone passes on, and to hang on to their spirit is really really important to me because it reminds me of people who dear people to me who died decades ago who are still influencing me. And their memories and their perspectives and their values still shaping me in ways that are really good. And even the people who, shaped me in ways that were not so good, those are things I've learned to see as gifts in many cases, because, there's so much to learn from that. So that was a lovely way to begin. Just
yes,
say that.
Yeah.
I also have my feet up and wrapped up in a blanket, although my foot is up because I have a broken ankle, but that's...
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's okay. I'm being well loved and taken care of by my wonderful wife and other family members, and a series of circumstances has placed me temporarily, my wife and I, in the apartment next door to my grandson. So he comes in every morning and greets us, and the last few mornings he's gone over to my suitcase and got me my socks and my underwear, and he's so proud of himself. He's 18 months old. He's just so excited to help his baba. And it's delightful. So much to be grateful for.
Yes. Well, wonderful to hear grandfather receiving the love. Yes. I am so full already. I feel like we've had like 2-3 hour conversation. So let's. I'm going to stay with you, Joe. The theme for today's conversation, we want to go different places. And, of course, I've always saw my vision for this show is about, I was telling Celeste, like, we gather together, like, maybe meet at a cafe. Don Wolf walks in. Hey, Don Wolf, what's going on? Well, he starts sharing what's going on. Ashende walks in. Joe walks in. Kasembe walks in, even though Kasembe is not here today. He couldn't make it. But, where we just sit down and talk about matters of the heart, how we navigate the ups and downs of life, talk about forgiveness and talk about letting go, embracing, and what's going on in the world. Now, I want to talk about a shooting that happened on Saturday. Not so much the shooting, but the part of the message is behind it, what we're hearing is behind it. But the theme for this today, which is the theme for the month, is bloom where you are planted. So, Joe, for you, when you think of the statement bloom where you are planted, what comes up for you? What does that bring up for you?
Oh, I've been thinking about lots of things since getting the email the other day from Celeste about our topic. When I think of bloom where you are planted, I think it's some of the things I was just talking about being nourished by and grabbing onto the good things the things to be grateful for, and the loving messages and interactions I've had with people through the years, including the loving limits of people, particularly men in my life, who have shown me their love by saying no, I disagree with that. You must not do that. That there are love brings with it limits that are liberating, and that's a wonderful thing, and that life is just shot full with paradox for me, and so a lot of the things that I could choose to feel victimized about in my life are things that have turned out to be sources of gratitude, that I'm thankful for the gift of those experiences and how it's allowed me or given me the opportunity to use it in my spiritual growth and my my striving towards radical acceptance and gratitude and openness, trying to grow in that soil, I still have the character defects of being judgmental and being frustrated that other people don't do the same thing. why are so many people wandering around in fear and feeling victimized rather than and spending so much time trying to know themselves rather than take what they know and act on it. You know, that's you know, I'm something I've become more and more important to me in recent years, that, you know, self-knowledge is necessary but not sufficient. You know, if I know something about myself and know something about the world, it's worthless to me unless I act on it, unless I do something with it, you know. You know, and then the other thing I was thinking about was, you know, in the message we got from Celeste, you know, talking about what do you see when you look at the soil, you know, the soil in which we are attempting to plant ourselves. And I, you know, hearing that another young white man being poisoned by misogyny, you know, and that's a pattern that repeats itself over and over again in our culture. And it's, you know, it for me as an older white man, I find it incredibly frustrating that so little attention is paid that these are young white men committing these acts, and what these acts say, you know, that to me they are just one point on the continuum of how young white men in our culture are so distorted from their humanity. And what a terrible price we pay for that, and what a terrible price we inflict on women and men of color by living life that way, seeing life that way, being distorted that way. And so much of it seems to me to come down to fear. And so I, you know, my first thought when I was thinking about what do I look at when I see the soil was, you know, the fearful, pessimistic part of me was saying, this is a, you know, the soil in our culture is a brown field of fear. It's contaminated with fear. But I know that's not entirely true. I know that that's not true everywhere. But anyway, those are my initial thoughts for what they're worth.
Thank you. Thank you for staring it and sharing it. Because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. I mean, you even triggered some stuff for me, but I'll leave that out now. I just want to stay with the same theme topic right now. So I'm going to just work my way back up. Let me go to Don Wolf. Bloom where you're planted. And what do you see when you look at the soil of your consciousness, the consciousness of humanity, the soil itself? Don Wolf.
Joe, you kind of blew me out of the water. The last things that you said, I'm going to come back to that. But answer to your question, soil, when I think of the earth immediately, no matter what's going on in the world, I always hear voices in the soil, in the earth. And every place in the world I've ever been, the voices are never the same on any spot. They're different in different countries, different parts of any country. And in fact, the house where I live right now, the land, I know the voice of different parts of my yard. And but when you take that into the soil that's in people's lives and reflect in how they live, I'm thinking about, I used to be able to quote it. It would impress a lot of girls when I was in church. So, oh, man, he really knows the word. And if I had been a player, my goodness, I would have really had a whole lot of prizes, if you know what I mean. But I was afraid
you were
a
player, right?
Now singing Joe's song, don't want to be a player no more.
None of us were ever players when we were young, never.
But there was this proverb in the New Testament about casting seed, and in the proverb it tells what happens when the seed falls on different types of terrain,
right,
where there's thorns, rocky, fertile, etc. And since I was a boy, that has played into my thinking, and I saw the seed as word, as action, and then when I got older, it was what's the philosophy of my life? Why am I here? I knew why I was here when I was very young. So how do you make it happen, and all that stuff. So when I and the work I do, and then just walking around the street, or driving around in a car. Let me clarify that. I don't drive anymore, so I'm usually driven around, mm-hmm. and or I'm in public transportation. And I didn't word it that way, but what I see is I see what Joe saw and the way fear is manifested. But what I also see is bow, B-O-W-E-L. And this bow, it's something that comes out of people, and I see it more and more, and I see this thing inside of people that is so afraid that it wants to kill. And then when I get close to people who want to kill, men, women, old, young, rich, poor, whomever, it crosses all the lines. When I see in there, and then the times I've just gone up in there, I don't even knock on the door. I just open up the door and just walk up on in there. And because I know what to do when I walk in. Any place I walk in, I know what I'm going to do when I go in there. Like when I go in there, I see fear has made itself into a seed, and on thorny and rocky land, it's given birth to insanity. And it's given birth to terrible fear of living, a willingness and an urge to die, but doesn't have the strength to ask the right questions to prepare to die in a good way, so when the time of death comes, physically comes, they're ill-equipped, and then the terror comes. And so this keeps repeating in people's consciousness. It comes out in so many ways, and so it just leaves me with a simple question of what word, what story can at first give them the eyes and make them think, and wait a minute, there is a way out of here. Because that's the first thing to do, is you got to give someone the idea that they can get out of it. And right. The best example is to be, like you keep quoting about, be the change that you want to be. And so it's really boiled down to being, when I hear it, is to asking, how powerful do you want to be? How powerful do you want to be present in other people's lives who don't even see the value of their lives? And I have to pull myself away from all of that, and I always do it to find people of different ages who live in wonderful landscapes, because they're everywhere. But in those wonderful landscapes, I see people who are hesitant and many times afraid to go and help someone with their yard. They don't want to help them do their yard work. And sometimes they just simply weren't taught how to do it, may want to, may not want to, but there's mostly fear of going over there. I can't go over there and help somebody with their lawn. That's not appropriate. And they put a fear up into it. So when I put into the context of lawns, land, soil like you did, it changes the perspective and it removes the barriers of religion, removes the barriers of race, political affiliations and everything, because we're souls, but many of us don't quite understand what that means to take care of somebody else's lawn.
Yeah.
Man, you sure do come out of the way you come up with these questions, but
right. And it's so much of it is it. So much of it is fear. It's fear.
Yeah. So much fear.
Yes. Oh, gosh, that's why I love having you guys on my show. Ashende. I don't know why we're slaughtering your name today. Ashende. Bloom where you're planted. And just, you know, the soil. Just from what you hear, whatever you're feeling, you know, what comes up for you? What do you have to share?
Well, again, I am just so just enamored to be present with you brothers, you know. Kazembe, Hotep, brother. I just realized how much I carry you guys with me throughout my journey. So, and I haven't physically met any one of you in this time frame. So this is awesome. And so that brings me to when I first read that, I thought about our science of mind, you know, seed, soil, plant. And that's how we approach, you know, the how we see life and God's expression of it in this particular philosophy or theosophy, if you will. But then I start thinking of that Tears for Fears song, Sowing the Seeds of Love. And I said, that's kind of my vibe, you know. I'm not, and maybe it's because I'm from earthquake territory, you know, where the earth is shaking and it's kind of, we have a sense that the earth is moving. So I'm never just rooted anywhere, you know. And so wherever I'm going, I'm sowing seeds of love, and or at least trying to. That's my commitment. And so in my blooming, I'm witnessing also the blooming of others, you know, and of God's expression as others. And back to what Brother Don Wolf was talking about, the fear aspect, you know, I had went to my son's school to sit in the class. And I remember I was carrying that whole conversation we had. We were talking about the showing of the emotions back in the earlier shows. And so I had to catch myself. I said, okay, am I going to go in here and sit as a parent or just as a witness to all these light souls, you know? And for a split moment, it was just like, it was kind of like, oh, you know, you got to be a parent, you know, because things come with that. You can't, you know, you can't just be caught up in the essence of childhood, because I knew that that's where I was eventually going to go. But I let it go. And I'll fast forward to keep the conversation short. I seen one of the kids, you know, and he was with his father. And I had also been noticing this, you know, you see the parents, and parents are going through what parents are going through, you know, because these are quote-unquote hard times these days. And so this particular parent had a, you know, I was smiling at him, and, you know, and I recognized the son. So he said, hey, you know, that's my son's name is Maha. He goes, that's Maha's dad. He's always happy.
Wow.
And he goes, his name is Mr. Amun. And I go, wow. And it just hit me. And I just had this flood of just love, and these tears were coming down. Because I said, you know what? I watch these children. I go, we're going to be all right. You know, we're going to, these kids are so much just vibrant with light and love that we're going to be all right, you know. And that's where I was just filled with just like, you know, I'm not going to hold no kind of negative energy current at all. So I'm starting with that. I'm sowing that right there on the earth, like, These little seedlings here, they're going to grow into just vibrant beings of light and love. I hope that answers you.
Yes, it does, actually, you know, because you guys have triggered a thought for me. And I think we're going to take a quick break. And I want you to think about this, because I'm thinking of the young man on Saturday who went on a shooting spree and either he shot himself or got shot by the police. We don't know, or I only watched it on Saturday. But, you know, his thing was feeling like he wasn't loved. He was feeling like girls don't like him, you know, he was feeling less than. after the break, after Celestial Moment, I want us to continue the conversation, but I want to stay with that fear thing. I want to get in your business a little bit. I want you to share with us a time that you felt fear, that what you know to be true wasn't enough to get you through it. Maybe it showed up as anger. Maybe it showed up as feeling less than, and how you were able to deal with it, get through it, or maybe you're still dealing with it and moving through it. Because I think it's good when, because I always say, though, anybody can teach truth, but I think sometimes what Joe said earlier, you know, it's like we can know the truth, but unless we take action. So I want to know how you guys, brothers, men, take action when you find yourself operating from a place of fear, and as an example to help others. But we're going to bring on Celeste, and then when we come back after Celestial Moment, we're going to talk about that, and then we want to talk about a project that a dear sister friend of mine is doing, Monique Ruffin. So let's just stand by. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and we're here on Monday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. I almost said Monday to Wednesday here. But not anymore. Just Mondays on lifeconversationsradio.com. And then starting next week, I'm going to bring in Celeste. Starting next week, I'm starting a new show, 1-2 Radio, called Soul Food for Your Consciousness. It's about recognizing that you must feed yourself what you need, what your soul needs, what your spirit needs, so you can navigate all that life throws on your path. Really, life is for you. It's not against you. But life believes in you so much. It's like, try this. Ooh, get in a romantic relationship. Ooh, get pissed off. Try it out. I know you can make it. Yes, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, disagreement, disbelief, you better call now. This is the house of love. And if you leave it too late, it's going to be too late. Celeste, welcome back.
It's great to be back. I see there's a visitor, but not really a visitor, a sister friend who stepped into the studio, Monique Ruffin. Cannot wait to hear about the Father Project. My life coach today, I just want to let folks know the other shows that you have on a network real quick, and then we can take a quick break. Is that okay?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Wonderful. So you can find the Ask Life Coach Today radio show only on Mondays. Only on Mondays, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on Tuesday, next week, June 3rd, you can catch another A day show on 1-2-radio.com, Soul Food for Your Consciousness. In the meantime, don't forget the other wonderful shows on Life Conversations Radio Network. We've got Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. We also have Ambassa Safara for the Play Experience. Have you played with yourself today? Do you passionately love and appreciate you? Well, if not, you can take a trip on a playground Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to join me on Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, where I play with tarot and numerology and angels now, too. Really? Yes, I do. I'm claiming it. Yeah, check me out on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. And finally, if you are missing Life Coach Today, the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you're there, inspirebroadcasting.com. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's hear what else is happening.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
That's right. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Think of the shortbread, fudge nut bar. How many treats? Think of the shortbread, fudge nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples' event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the
That's community. Right. We're activating your throat chakra. You have a voice. You have something to say. You have the power to transform energy so that you can be the change you want to see. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346. Today's topic, today's theme is Bloom Where You're Planted, and the brothers are in the house, Ashende, Don Wolf, Joe Kelly. And Kasembe is not here with us today, but he'll be back next time. It's time for Celestial Moment, and then after that we'll go back to the brothers, talk about how they deal with fear. Actually, they're going to tell us about things that they've experienced and how they move through it. And then we are going to talk about a project called, well, it's called The Father's Project. My dear friend is here, Monique Ruffin. So, Celeste, you're ready to give us the spiritual weather report?
I am, but I got to unwrap these gifts the brothers have given me. Don Will, okay. Thank you for that Matthew 13. That was absolutely amazing. Parable of the sower, and Ashende, I know you didn't just pull out tears for fear sowing the seeds of love, which then led me to the sower card of the Black Angel cards, and this affirmation is, you are planting new seeds for the world, and I got all of that because of you beautiful brothers. Thank you so much. So that was a little freebie, but let's get down to the number of the day. Indeed. Good afternoon, family. It's Celeste here again, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. We have a new moon in Gemini on Wednesday, and it should be a festive time to plant new seeds of strong intention to launch your rockets of desire. The energy of the day equals two, and the number two is ruled by the moon, and it also shows up as the High Priestess in Tarot. She is the first teacher on the tarot journey to reveal the secrets beyond the veil. Now, two also shows up as the Hawk in Medicine cards,
And that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Hawk, messenger of the sky, circle my dream and teach me the message as we fly. Hawk is akin to Mercury, the messenger of the gods in mythology. Hawk medicine teaches us to be observant, to look at our surroundings for nuances of power. Life is sending us signals through pleasures, challenges, and our fears. We want to connect with our emotions to check if some of these helpful reminders just might be muddying the view. When we are deeply attached to outcomes, we might actually lose our sight. The message gets lost in a delivery when ego steps before great spirit. Use the hawk to rise above your circumstances to tap the gifts of the messenger, which include discernment, intuition, observation, wisdom, courage, and truth. Mighty tools gifted for those who have the ears, heart, mind, and soul desire to listen. And I know that person is you. And that's the story of two, told through our friend, the Hawk of Medicine Cards. All is well. I'll see you on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. And you can also find me at my blog, journeys-home.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. I love the excitement. Excitement of expression. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Adam Radio Show. Underneath me now, it was underneath Celeste, it was Destiny Muhammad, harpist from the hood. And this is called Grace. To find out more about her, destinymuhammad.com. Let's jump back and into the conversation. Men, they're blooming where they're planted, sharing their story, sharing how they see the soil, how they move through life, how they apply the spiritual truth. And I'm so grateful to have Ashende Among here, Don Wolf, and Joe Kelly. And Monique will be joining us soon. So, brothers, this is what I want to do as I bring you back on, is let's be short and impactful because I want to squeeze a lot in here. We've got some questions for you, too, and I want to get it all in. And I want to start with Joe Kelly. Joe, fear. You know, we see it play out in so many ways. It's the root of all evil. Not money, fear. But anyway, can you share a personal story when fear hijacked you and how you were able to get yourself, how you were able to get the oxygen mask to bring yourself back into alignment?
Well, the example I'm going to give is kind of silly and mundane, but often that's where I think, for me, I get hijacked most easily. There was a time when my children were teenagers and my family was in New York City and taking a cab from the train station up to the home of friends we were going to stay with, and I was tired and it was dark, and I grew up in northern New Jersey with healthy doses of fear instilled in me about the evils of the city. You know, now the city was a dangerous place. And I think some of that stuff came back into my subconscious this particular evening, and the cab stopped and I leapt out of the car and I started raising my voice and telling the kids and my wife, get out of the cab, quick, get out of the cab, grab the bags, quick. It's like, because I was convinced, terrified that the cab was going to run away and abandon us and we were going to be trapped in this no man's land, you know. And it was like my children and my wife were like looking at me with, you know, just really puzzled, started looking at their lives and like, chill out, man. Relax. What are you freaking out about? You know, calm down. You know, we're just getting out of a goddamn cab. But it's that, you know, I totally lost perspective in that fear. And I you know, what brought me out of it was my family whacking me upside the head. Come on, you know, get in touch with reality here. You know, and I can talk about other moments and stuff too, but, you know, it's I think a lot of times it's that. A lot of times it's you know, the other thing I think of is a time where as a teenager, a guy pulled a knife on me and was threatening me, and I was terrified, but there was some part of me that, without even knowing it, kind of went down into the fear and had some moment of insight and started saying out loud to this guy, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you. And I just kept repeating it. And it was only later that I realized, you know, when I drove down into the fear, I realized that, you know, certainly when I wanted to lash out at somebody, there was some part of me that wanted them to lash out at me too. You know, that the fear was in some degree about trying to get myself hurt. And so by saying over and over again to this guy, I'm not going to hurt you, I'm not going to hurt you, eventually it diffused the situation and he turned and walked away. Because, you know, it was like there's some part of me, even as a teenager, I had this knowledge that he wanted to get, that's why he was lashing out at me, is because he wanted to get hurt. He wanted to feel pain. And my just saying over and over again to him, I'm not going to do that to you, dissolved his incentive for being there. You know, so I don't know. You know, it's hard to, it's a hard thing to nail down into particular incidents for me. When I talked earlier about, you know, the soil of our culture being a brown field of fear, it's like, you know, to me what's really worrisome is how much fear is, you know, how much, you know, going back to the seed metaphor, how much the seed of fear is fertilized in our culture, and how useful it is for us to be afraid because we're more willing consumers, and you know, and that, especially in the parenting world, it's parents being terrified of what's going to happen to their children when their, you know, reality is not that dangerous for their children. Living in this paralysis of fear rather than having faith that, you know.
Right.
And the way we even kind of... And that fear is really about, you know, trying to create the illusion that we're in control and we're not in control. So, get over it.
And I was just right. And I was going to say how we categorize the fear. And I don't know if we have time to go through it, but I'm just going to give expression to it because it keeps coming up when you talk about fear society. Is, you know, from my perspective, what I've seen, and I'm willing to be wrong, but it seems like as you shared earlier, Joe, when a white young male or white male goes shooting, that's not what you said, this is what I'm saying, it keeps coming up when I hear you talk, so I'm giving expression to it. The conversation is usually about mental health and gun laws. But if a shooting happens in black community, you don't hear nothing about gun laws. It's also rap music, thug, and the ghetto, and the privilege. Hopefully we'll have time to talk about it, because every time it just comes up. So I want to just kind of put that out in the ethers and maybe you can tie it in.
Absolutely. You're right on. And it's kind of the flip side of what I was saying about how, you know, it's the business of you know, being a white male with all this unearned privilege and this misogyny and this, you know, and this fear of losing privilege and, you know, it's and this disconnection from being human, that never gets talked about either. It's like, you know, ironically, you know, going back to the colors, it's the dark side of how we talk about these things in the culture at large.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It's interesting. I've never heard gun laws when there's a shooting in the black community. Never.
Yeah.
I have never.
Yeah.
Everybody else may have, but I've never heard talking about we need to look at gun laws. It's not that. Let me go to Don Wolf because I want to bring Don Wolf on, and let's talk about fear. I'll come to your shine day, and then we're going to go to Monique Ruffin to talk about a project, something that she is, she's birthed in a new phase of it. Don Wolf, let's talk about fear. A time where you've been fearful, acted on it, and how you brought yourself back into, if you did, brought yourself to alignment, or you're still dealing with the consequences of it.
Wow. Joe, you took us somewhere. I want to go there, but I told us to keep it brief, but I am a touch on it. But the question, I have a number of incidents, and one of them, since we, when we went off for Celestial Moments, you were talking about the young white man, young white boy. I remember as a boy several incidents when fear came and I had to figure out what to do with it. And one of them was in high school. And I could dance. I loved dancing. And I would get on the floor and I would just go to town. And what I discovered was I could go to house parties because my father told me how to walk in a room and told me a couple other things. I won't divulge those secrets. But Daddy taught me some things. But what I did not know how to do was to go to a school dance. And I was terrified of slow dancing. Because you remember how it is when you're 17, 18 years old, everything, every girl arouses you. I was completely terrified of...
Every girl? Don't move, but go ahead.
I was completely terrified of slow dancing. I would fast dance, do all kind of dances, jump up on tables, the whole nine, and then the fear would grip me because I would look at my date or whatever girl was dancing with me because I never took girls to parties. There was a lot of girls there, danced with them all. What did I do with my fear? I didn't know what I was going to do. I excused myself because every fourth or sixth song they would do a slow jam, and I could only go to the bathroom once, maybe twice, before there's something wrong. And so I went to the payphone, and I called the teenage hotline, and I started talking to whomever picked it up for the duration of the song. Until I was called, until the girl would come, Gregory, where are you? Where are you, Gregory? Where are you, Gregory? Oh, and I would lie and say, oh, I was just talking to her. I make up something crazy. And then, oh, okay, I feel. Well, they're playing this. And then I would go and dance. I did this all night until finally one girl confronted me. And she wanted to know. I remember her name, Lee Bell. And I finally just took me a long time, but I finally just told her. So in that situation, I dealt with the fear just by evasive action, and then I just finally had to tell the truth. The evasive action did not work for me. Telling the truth helped me and calmed my fears. And I've had similar incidents where Joe said he was threatened with a knife, and then he starts telling the guy, I don't want to hurt you. I've done things like that. And I also I found ways, and I think because now I'm telling this because I'm thinking about young people, so I'm talking directly to young people as if they're in the room with me, because these questions always come up with young people. They'll find ways to say it, but they always want to know, and they're keenly interested in how I dealt with fear, bullies, knives, all that stuff. My greatest fear as a kid was white people. And when I met whites, I was 11 years old, and that was my introduction to the strangest kind of terror I'd ever experienced. And Native people and African people have a feeling for this, but this does not enter into close, intimate conversations like this, because as there's a survival mechanism that people of color have, of making sure that white people feel good about themselves. And it's deeply ingrained inside, but it does not help with the fears that white people and white men in particular, can conjure up inside of people. And so we find ways to do what I did when I was in high school. We find ways to, evasive ways. But bottom line, it's that subject of that young man, and then the words that that Joe said, I'm looking at young people. How do you deal with the fear that white men can generate inside of people all over the world? African comedians talk about it, that I've heard. I've read the writers, West African writers who wrote about it in the 60s, 70s, and it's a very real question because you come up with, I didn't hear that story about that kid because I'm black, it's too much for me. I hear too much of it. Those stories, but the ingredients are always the same. And it's a white kid. And that question, we can't do it here, but at some point we have to find something that works, and it has to do with the latter part of my story as a kid of just dealing with it truthfully. Because one of my ancestors in the Crow tribe, the last chief, in 1932, Chief Plenty Coop, I should have memorized it by now, but he basically said that the reason for the color of white was because of their fear. And Dorothy Hyatt at Coretta Scott King's funeral said that black men need white men to help them with their fear, and white men need black men to help them with their guilt. We haven't figured out how to come together with those things. And if we ever have this, can ever flesh this out, I'll tell you about my experience a couple weekends ago where I went to Civil War reenactment. My father, one of my brothers, two of my brothers, and our whole time there, we were in the Confederate camp, and this was the subject. This was at the root of that war. And my brothers and I went there, and we had those conversations for about 3-4 hours. But the first thing we had to deal with was the fear, because we knew that those Confederates were in character, and we were too dark to be on those lines. And that is tied into that white boy and all the serial killers that come out there. But I'm going to stop right there. I'm trying to be obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice, as the Bible says. Don't cut off my leg. Don't come up with a knife, because I don't want to get Joe to hurt you.
No, Joe's not going to hurt me. Joe's not going to hurt me.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ashende, because we got quite a few questions I want to get through too. But after Ashende, we're going to go to Monique. Ashende, fear. You've talked about it, but maybe another experience of how when you got caught up all up in it, and how you were able to get yourself back into alignment.
My first, I would say, introduction to fear came when I was a kid, because as I was listening and just pondering the question, I was like, you know, prior to this episode, I really had no fear. You know, I was just a content person, you know. And so that was when I grew up in South Central. And so this was my first experience of a drive-by shooting. And so that was, for me, my first fearful thing. And I remember I went into a mode. It was a guy in the neighborhood used to show us his military techniques. I was the only person that took this guy serious. And so I would go around the neighborhood with this guy, and kids used to laugh at me and like, "Ah, look at you, that fool got you doing this stuff in the sun. Are you crazy?" But I remember all that stuff came up for me in dodging these bullets. And I'm seeing some of those same kids there falling around me, you know, bodies. And I tucked and I jumped into this
pool of debris and bushes and whatnot. And the fear just gripped me, so I couldn't move. I was just like stuck in fear. And I'm hearing the bullets, you know, flying over me. And I heard this voice, and she says, "Get up. Like, you can't stay here or you're going to die. Get up and trust." And I don't know how it happened, but I ended up getting out of that situation listening to this voice, and it got me to my mom's, to my home. And, you know, later on we did the collateral damage and all of that stuff, but that was my first introduction to fear. You know, later on we would come to grips with all of that, you know, as those moments happen again. But that was the first of so trust
real
was
quick.
How I came out of that.
Okay, yeah, real quick, you talk about listening to the voice, listen to something that is beyond the intellect.
Yes.
Just real quick, how did that experience change you? How did it influence how you see the world? Did it make you more scared of the world?
From that point on, I mean, I knew it was something bigger than me. I was 11, in fact. I was 11 years old, and my birthday was that month. It was July, so we're out. It's the summertime, and I was about to become 12, and I after that is when my shift happened. When I call that my first mystical experience, because I know I heard this female voice just. And I felt it pulling me up. It was so powerful. And and in fact, you know, some of the guys who were hiding around, they, you know, they seen the determination of me, and they followed me. I remember that, you know, and these guys all just followed me straight to my home. Like, they could have kept going another way. Some of them said, "This guy knows where to go."
That's right. He seems to know where to go. We're following him because he's listening to the voice. I hear you. Thank you for sharing that experience, all of you. I want to go to Monique and brothers and all the brothers that are listening. I want you to just, in your mind's eye, send out loving, compassionate energy to the sisters in the world. And we got some sisters in the chat room who are just feeling teary-eyed. They don't even know what's going on, feeling emotional. So if you can just do what you do, bring your spiritual warrior self and just give them a hug so they can feel grounded, and which is a good place to go to, my dear friend Monique Ruffin. And we got callers and we got questions, so we'll see what happens. I'm not going to sweat it. But Monique Ruffin has been a guest. She's a dear friend of mine, a beautiful sister, and just spiritually grounded, and I mean, she lives with her heart wide open, and she inspires me, and she is just spiritually butt naked living truth. Talk about being the truth that you want to see and becoming what you want to see in the world. She does it. She's doing a project now called the Father Project, and she's here to tell us about it and why it's important, who can be part of it. Monique, how are you doing, my dear friend?
I'm wonderful today. Thank you so much for that amazing introduction. I'm like, who is he talking about?
You.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I'm very, very humbled and grateful. I love you so much.
I love you too.
So thank you for giving me an opportunity. I wanted to come and share and invite women who might be interested in participating in something I'm doing called the Father Project. And there are about 50 other women who have joined to participate. And basically this is going to be a 21-day sacred journey into healing our father wounds. And the purpose is to heal our own heart, but also to mend the relationships that we have with the fathers of our children. And when I was newly divorced and really working hard to co-parent, I kept running into my rage, and I was just so angry. And what I realized in that process was that I don't care what my ex-husband did, there was no way he could beat me at raging. He could not beat me at raging. He could not beat me at anger. He could not beat me at being manipulated. He couldn't, because a woman scorned or a woman in her unconscious anger or whatever is not beatable by any man, unless he's going to just use physical brute. But we women, when we are not in a place of wholeness and love and compassion, I believe that I know that I could be impenetrable. Like, I know that about myself. And so I started this journey to heal my heart. And what I realized is that I had to heal my relationship with my father in order to heal my relationship with my ex-husband, and that I had the power within me as a woman to turn the most loving, compassionate man into a monster because of the rage that I carried from my childhood. There's something magical about women. We are powerful and mystical in ways that we don't understand, and the energy that we emit really influences everyone in our sphere, that we encounter in a way that is unseeable but definitely recognizable. And because we don't understand our power, we sort of fall into a role of victim. We start to feel like that person is doing this to me. When I saw that I was actually creating it, because the only person that was the same in all the relationships I was having with various men was me, and they were all kind of becoming like bullies and monsters, I realized that they were reflecting me. So healing my own heart was the first step, and it has been absolutely transformational in my life. And I have a number of male friends who are working to co-parent. Their children want to be there for their children, want to be fully active in their children's lives. And because the mothers are angry, they cannot get into that space. And so I never feel more alive than when I'm being of service and when I'm doing something that I know serves the greater good. I know this serves the greater good, and it just makes me feel happy and valuable, and it makes me realize the power that I have in my child's life and the power that all women, when we come together, have to impact ourselves, one another, our partners, our children, and the generations to come. And so if anyone would like to participate, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on and on, I know that. But if anyone would like to participate, you can just find me at Facebook. I'm Monique Ruffin. Or you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter name is, my handle is at Monique Ruffin. Or send me a private message, and I will add you to the group, and you can participate in a way that feels right for you in your heart. So thank you so much today for giving me space.
You're welcome. But before you go, what about Sister Two is saying, I don't have any issues. He was never there. I don't know him. And I don't have any kids. So that ain't for me.
I feel it's for everyone. Because the thing is that as women, we get to come together to support one another. So even if you had a father present in the home, and you guys had a happy relationship, and you have a great marriage right now, and you've never been married, and you don't have any kids, you get to bring your energy to support other women who have an intention to be in a whole place around their relationship and their power and the invisible field that they emanate toward men. So we really are working together for the well-being of all of us. and our children. So, you know, as a woman, I feel like I'm not just responsible for my child. I'm responsible for my sister's children, the children across the street. When I'm on the park with my son and I see children doing things that might be out of line, if their mother isn't correcting them, I'm the woman that's going, no, that's not okay, or how can I help you, or what do you need? Like, that's the way I was raised, and I believe in the village. So everyone is a part of the village, and everyone is needed, and everyone can serve healing, especially in, you know, communities of color where we see so much disharmony between, or we hear about so much, because I actually don't see that much, honestly, personally. But where we hear about absenteeism in parents and fathers and all that sort of stuff, like, we can all serve the desire to shift those perceptions, to shift those experiences, and to heal those broken patterns. So everybody can help.
Indeed. Yes, yes, yes. And you can find Monique on Facebook, Monique Ruffin. That's Monique, M-O-N-I-Q-U-E. Ruffin is R-U-F-F-I-N. Thank you, my dear sister. I so appreciate you, and thank you for doing the work that you do, because it's so needed. So needed.
Thank you so much for letting me come to be here with you today. I appreciate it. And thank the brothers. They are just, wow. Like, I need to connect with some of you to see if you, like, we might need some of your energy to support us as this journey gets a little tough, because it does get hard doing this work.
Yes.
So thank you.
You're welcome, my sister. I know my brothers have something to say about that, and we got questions. And actually, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Because we've got questions, I'm going to bring Celeste on. And, brother, if you can, I want you to keep it short, to the point, powerful, and tie it all together. So, and you can tie in what you want to say about father-daughter relationship. You can tie in with some of the questions, because they do apply. So, Celeste, let me bring you on. And we also have another announcement about, you know, building the beloved community. Celeste, we got some questions. One is actually a personal question, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do this real quick. I need help, brothers, men listening, and women tune in. It's getting warm in D.C. I'm minding my business, and I got these young 15 up young boys coming at me like they don't have any home training. And I didn't like the way I responded to one young man, and I want your help with it, just in a nutshell, because time is going, and I want to make sure we get through everything. In a nutshell, I'm 44 years old. I'm a grown woman walking the street. I got teenage boys telling me, whoop, whoops, hey, shorty. I'm like, oh, you think I'm going to respond to that? Okay, calm down, Celeste. Anyway, so I didn't respond, and then this kid tells me, you won't stop because you can't keep up with me. And then I stopped, and I turned around, and I gave him exactly what he wanted, my full presence. And then this is where I need help. These are the words I said out my mouth to him in front of his friend. I said, I'm not responding to you because I don't catch up with little boys who don't know how to approach a grown woman. It was not loving. He laughed, his friend laughed, but I felt like I killed something in his spirit. So please help me. What words would you have liked? What do you think are some ways and tools that we can use where women can still stand in their power and love their little brothers? Because I don't, Celeste, I'm not a cougar. And I'm not dissing any older women who do, but I need to breastfeed these boys, and not in the way that they think. I'm like, boy, you need a bottle, hey, and not what you think you need from me.
I was going to say, you might need another analogy. Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, I'm the
they
guys
too big to be on my breast today. For nourishment.
Let me go to the Stone Wolf first. Yes, let me go to Stone Wolf first, since he lives in D.C. and works with his little boys. Stone Wolf. To the point, short, quick, and go for it.
That's exactly how you should have approached it.
I know that's right.
That's exactly how she should have approached it. Put them in their place, give them something to think on, and to measure themselves up to. Mm-hmm. And then I know Celeste well enough to know that there's enough in her that she, if she had to, could have kept the physical. But as a woman, that was the best thing she could have done. You don't want to get physical with a group of boys, but you can touch their soul because them boys know the authority of women better than they know the authority of men. We can strike fear into them and create a challenge. I don't necessarily want to do a challenge the way I can carry a challenge, but that was wisdom, what she said, the whole everything she did.
And I'll jump in here. This is Joe. I thank you for saying that, Kruger. I think you're right. And that Celeste, rather than thinking of it as, you know, killing a piece of their soul, that I think of it, again, I said this earlier about that, you know, the love has limits. You know, loving someone includes having limits for them. We do that with our children. We do that with our lovers. And that those limits are liberating. And what you did was you set a limit. And that's a loving thing to do. That is loving. That's, you know, loving is not letting them do whatever they want or feel like they, you know, they should never have their feelings hurt. We get our feelings hurt in loving relationships. That's part of the deal. And standing up in your power is setting a limit. And that's, yeah, that's what you do.
That's right. So, Ashande.
Sorry.
That's okay. Your thoughts?
I agree with both of the brothers. You know, sometimes love is a fierce kick in the behind, spanking the behind, and, you know, and you just, you know, forgive your, you know, go into some self-forgiveness, but, you know, I believe this is the age of turning over the temple tables, you know.
I know, that's right. That took a while to activate it in my mind, but I got it now. It's true, because you're saying, you didn't think it was loving. That was very loving. That was correcting him, that he was immature.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I want to do this real quick. We got some... about four more questions, and then we've got somebody who wants to make an announcement. But I want to hear your thoughts on this, brothers. Something real quick to the point. Why you think projects like Monique's project, really women healing their relationship with their father, is very important in being able to raise boys who can respect grown women. Let me go to Don Wolf.
First of all, I was deeply moved by what Monique is doing. That I felt tears coming because it's a long time coming. And she went to the core of what is wrong in the relationships between men and women for the past 40 years. And she's the first person I can think of that has gone to the core of what ails the relationships. And in answer to your question, Ade, Monique's work is really the work of the womb. And we can only participate in a limited capacity because, as she so eloquently expressed, that her husband and no man can match the anger and the rage of women. And I have the scars to prove it. I have the stories. I know what I did to overcome so that I was not full of hatred for the mothers of my children, but it was extremely difficult, and I can't say enough about why that is important and fundamental. I'm getting into some deep emotions here because she really moved me. It takes courage to do that, but it is the right time because it is at the point where men are, and they're on the verge of killing these women. I've had the privilege of being invited by a social worker to deal with men in child support system. And keeping a very long story short, I deal in terms of ritual and ceremony. And I told, one of the things I told those men why it's important to sit in my circle was because not only have I been where you are, I've come out of it. I'm just going to give you some tools. But I said, most important, we have to do this work. I said, because in the next 2 and 3 weeks, I was going to be there 4 months, I knew, and I told them, I was going to find the man who was on the verge of killing the woman that Monique is respecting, is going to be working with. And I cannot tell you, and I know many people know this, but the result of that anger has produced the worst in men, and as she said, shaped them into monsters and changed loving men. And I've been dealing with these men who were an inch from killing the women, and I've dealt with men who were on the verge of killing their children too, and it was initiated by the lack of the care and what goes into developing the womb. I'm so deeply impressed. She has all of my support, and anything I can do to help, any writings, presence, if I can do it, I will contribute it, because that is just, it comes from on high. I'm not going to stop because I feel tears coming, because it's right on time.
I hear you. Joe?
I was going to say, I've done similar work with women. I've co-facilitated several groups with a female therapist that it's for women, women-only groups in mental health agencies, and the group is my father, myself. And the goal, and it's slightly different, I think, although maybe not as different as it might seem at first from what Monique's talking about, is the idea of the focus isn't so much on helping these women heal their relationships with their male partners or with their sons or anything. It's about helping them understand and come to grips with their relationship with their fathers, and particularly to be identifying what is it that they hungered for from their fathers or stepfathers or father figures, identifying those hungers. My role in the group is, you know, to be there talking about the dynamics of father-daughter relationships, speaking for the fathers when that's appropriate, trying to, you know, not justify what they're doing, but speaking from where they were at, you know, to give what, you know, crippled explanation, again, in their voices about why they thought they were doing the right thing. But the biggest piece was how much that relationship is key to how a girl and a woman develops her sense of self. And that if I can, you know, if I as a woman can identify what is it that I'm hunger for from my father, a hunger that has not been satiated, can I begin to own those hungers as my own and stop having them be so viscerally linked with my father? Can I detach them from my father and realize, hey, look, these are my hungers. And if my father can't feed them, I'll take them somewhere else. And that I can act on them. I can, you know, my father influences me, but I don't need the ongoing presence of my father in my life to be fully human, to get my needs met. And that I have choices about where I go with that. And these groups have been just incredibly powerful in terms of women feeling liberated about their own selves, but also in terms of, you know, frequently when these women's fathers are still alive, they go back and talk to them and speak straight and truthfully to them, and some really interesting conversations develop. So I think it's an important thing to explore, you know, women's relationships with their fathers and stepfathers is just vitally important to explore just for itself.
Yes. Yes, so true. So true. Ashende, real quick, your thoughts.
Yes. Well, the first thing I thought about was my sister, my sisters, because my father was a piece of work himself, and so I was thinking how they would be empowered from something like that. But then I also thought about myself being a father of a daughter,
And just knowing, I call her God's gift to God, you know, because I learned so much from her. And just by just being present, you know, and how much she's learning from me. You know, I mean, she's a watcher. And so I that's some great work there. And it is needed. It is needed.
Yes, indeed.
I think about my brother. I just spoke with him before this show, and how he took his two daughters on his boat fishing. You know, and I'm listening to his enjoyment of that, and I'm there with him and feeling the breeze of the sea, and I'm like, they're gonna cherish that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Uh-huh. More fathers need to be present. We always hear about the man and the son, you know, but you really don't get
right
into that concept of the man and the daughter too much.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Joe Kelly, one of the things Joe Kelly is passionate about.
Don't get me started.
yes. I know, not at this time of the show. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Speaking of don't get started, I'm going to allow 1 minute each to answer this question. We've actually collapsed two questions into one because we also have another brother who wants to share something. So let me go to Celeste. So if you could answer the question powerfully to the point in 1 minute or less. Celeste, question.
Okay, here we go. It's a single father question, brothers. He is juggling child support system, unhealed relationship with the mother of his children, and how to deal when he doesn't agree with who his children are around as other male role models. How
to
answer this question, too, because that could be a whole show, gentlemen. I'm done.
Okay, 1 minute. 1 minute or less. 1 minute. Okay, who wants to jump in first? I heard
I'll jump in. Joe, this is Joe. I've got some great stuff on my website, joekelly.org, about being a live-away father, tips for being a live-away father. And the biggest thing is understanding what I can control. And all I can control is my own behavior and my own attitudes. I can't fix or change what's happening in the other home by what I do in my home. What I can do is be the best I can be every moment I'm with my child, and pray for them and love them and think of them every time I'm not with them, and trust that spotlight of nourishment going back to the soil of my love, that my child's flower will turn towards that even if there's darkness in other places in their life. I have no control over anything else, so it's a distraction and a waste of my energy to try and exert control someplace where I don't have it. And the other thing is, every time I say or act in a negative way towards my child's other parent, I am inflicting a wound on my child. It's like I'm stabbing her because she is of that other parent. So never, never do that. Be the grown-up.
Thank
be the
you,
man.
Joe. Thank you, Joe. Ashende. 1 minute
left. Yes. Joe hit it on the head, but there are so many degrees with that thing, and I'm going through that myself. Not the child support part, but just the aspect of who my child is around, other men, and you got to have trust, and you have to know that there is something bigger than yourself that is in full operation. But, meditation and being still with the self, because, there are so many degrees of that can get you caught up. Sure can. Stay out the emotional.
Yes, indeed. Let me go to Don Wolf. Don Wolf, 1 minute or less. What would you do? What's your word? What's the advice?
I've been there. Two things: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you transform your mind, transform your mind to understand what it is to be the priest warrior and to be the priest warrior over your children, because the word of a man, of a father over his child, is one of the strongest forces that's in your child's life. Be transformed by renewing of your mind. Remember and learn how to become the priest warrior, and remember the power of your word and how you live.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Time is doing what time does. It keeps floating and moving. Now, there's so much I can say about that, but I won't. Joe Kelly, your website is thedadman.com, or is it joekelly.com?
Well, it's joekelly.org or thedadman.com, and it gets you to the safe place.
Okay. Okay, cool. Don Wolf, I know to contact you, we have to go in the forest. We have to go in the woods, right? Okay. And if they're being lazy, they're fine for people. Yeah, go ahead.
Facebook, Gregory okay. E. Woods, my Christian name, or just, was it facebook.com/keeperofstories?
Okay. Ashende, what's a good place for people to
reach? Yes, sir. You can reach me on Facebook, Ashende Amun. That's where I'll be.
A-S-H-E-N-D-E-M-A-U-N. Brothers, A-M-U-N. I love you. I love you beyond words. I'm rushing because I want to bring another brother on real quick to share something. But thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are in my life, who you are on the planet, and how you represent the spiritual warrior with all that thundery noise. Thank you, my brothers. I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I love you all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. We're trying to squeeze a lot in, and we're going to do it. Celeste, we got Nightwolf. We had Don Wolf. Now we have Nightwolf. Wow.
Yes, we do.
Real quick, about a minute
real quick
to get it open.
I know, right? And I want him to come in. The J. Winter Nightwolf is an institution in Washington, D.C. I'm so happy to have him on the line. He's on WPFW 89.3, the American Indian's Truth, the most dangerous show on radio. And he's coming to share a special announcement with us. Real quick, Nightwolf, welcome.
How you doing, Celeste? And how are you, brother?
I'm good. Can you tell us really quickly, you've got a day, Life Coach A Day, it's his show, and we've got Nightwolf. Nightwolf, you have an amazing thing happening on July 19th. I'll make sure that I keep people informed. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, you
well,
got 1 minute.
You know, Celeste, okay, let me tell you this. I'll tell you this by prefacing this, that federally recognized Indians in America have been sanctioned by the white man to be an Indian, and they have a platform to speak from. You also have these white people that pose as Indians on the weekend. They have always had a place to speak. Mm-hmm. But you don't have... the black American Indian has never had a platform. And every time somebody that's black with Indian blood or Indian with black blood opens their mouths, they're shut down. On the 19th of July, there will be the first gathering of the Black American, the National Congress of the Black American Indian and all our relations at Plymouth Church in Washington, D.C., Plymouth Congregational Church, North Capitol, Missouri Avenue. From 11 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And
is there a website address?
Not yet. We're working on that right now. But Don Wolf is involved in it because Don Wolf is one of our key figures as well. But it's high time. The paradigm is changing, and it's high time for black people with Indian blood and Indian people with black blood to have a place to speak from.
Thank you, my brother. We're running out of time. Celeste will give us some more information. I appreciate you. Sorry we had to just squeeze you in. But I want to thank all of you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for saying yes. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank goodness for you. And I thank God for you. Miten and David Pramal, we are truly awakening. I'll be back here live on Life Conversations Radio Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. And find me other places. You know where I'll be. I love you so much. Be true to yourself and love yourself. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.